come before my throne of glory. Come and receive power, receive honor, receive what you need. Come and satisfy your thirst, for I welcome you into my very presence. Hallelujah, Lord. We come before you in faith, believing. Oh, we bless you, Lord. Praise your name. Amen, amen. Amen. Well, you may have your seats. Thank you so much, worship team. Isn't God good? So tomorrow night from 7 to 8, right? If you want to come and just worship God for an hour, they've been having a thing called Jam for the Lamb. And if you're available, it's open to anybody who wants to come. It's going to be for just an hour. It'll be a great way to get you ready for what God has in store next. Amen. Getting ready to close the book on 2015 and open a new book for 2016. Are you excited about next year? Amen. It'll keep getting better and better, sweeter and sweeter. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad that you're here tonight. You have your ears on. You know, God does, he wants to be heard and he wants to be seen. Oftentimes you heard people, they heard and they saw what God is doing. And as I was praying and just dwelling in God's presence, I kept asking him what he wanted to say to you tonight. That's my prayer always, but and he led me to this message that has three words: engage, fight, and win. You know, there is a time to engage. There is a time to participate, to occupy, to secure, to fight. You know, we are in a fight. We have weapons. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And that battlefield consists in our minds. How many know things can get up in our minds that need to be tore down, demolished? Belief systems, mindsets. Told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:18 through 20, he says, "This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare." Did you know you wage warfare differently than how they fight battles in actual wars? Our fight is a spiritual fight. And we have to be engaged in this battle. And he told Timothy, verse 19, he said, "Having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected." Can you imagine people rejecting faith and a good conscience? Because they get so seared to their conscience that they don't even recognize it. He said, and concerning the faith, which and having faith have suffered shipwreck, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan, as they may learn not to blaspheme. And then he told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, verses 2 through 7, he says, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if everyone competes in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So we have to be engaged. We have to be ready to... You know, I like David, how he often would ask God, should I fight and will I win? And God says, fight and you'll win. He gave him a strategy. And it was always different. And, you know, we're in a spiritual fight. We're in a fight in this nation, in this hour, in this moment. And how do we be engaged? We engage through worship, through prayer, through making ourselves available to God, saying, God, here I am. And then to fight. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 9:26 and verses 27, he says, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. How many know that to be engaged and to fight in God's fight, we're going to have discipline? And then, of course, he said, fight the good fight of faith. How do we do that? 1 Timothy 6, verses 11 and 12. He says, confess a good confession before in the presence of many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that awesome? He said, fight the good fight of faith. How do we do that? Laying hold on eternal life and confessing a good confession before many witnesses. And then, of course, God wants us to win. We're not going to engage in fight just to lose. God expects us to win. Say, I'm a winner. Say, I win every time. It means that we have the victory. Isn't the people with the victory, aren't they the winners? 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 20. Says, for though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. Paul was interested in winning people for Christ. And he would engage them. And, he said, to the weak I became weak. To the poor, all those things that he said. He wanted to win people. Because he's a winner. 1 Corinthians 15, 54, verse 57. Says, death is swallowed up in victory. Amen to that. Death is swallowed up in victory. God's victory is greater than death. He says, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we thank God who always gives us the victory through Jesus Christ? We have the victory. We're on the winning team. And of course, 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that it overcomes the world, our faith. Did you know that your faith is victorious? You have champion faith. Amen? So God wants us to engage. He wants us to fight. And he wants us to win. As we go into next year, there's going to be times when we're going to have to take a stand and draw a line in the sand. And we have to purpose in our hearts that nothing is going to move us, no matter what we see, no matter what we hear. The only thing that's going to move us is God's word. Amen? If God gives you something, don't let the enemy take it from you. I'm going to give you some tips on how we can engage and fight and win. All right? Number one, you have to have a mindset to win no matter what. How many know that You've got to win the battle in your mind first. You've got a purpose in your heart that God has made you a winner, and you've got to go with that mindset. There's a story in the book of Numbers, chapter 21, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it to you. And it says, "The Canaanite, the king of Arad, who lived in the Negev, heard that Israel was coming by the way of Atharim. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them captive." Now here's the punchline right here. "So Israel made a vow to the Lord and said, 'If you will indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities.'" In other words, they did not accept them being taken captive. You know, I like what Dottie said on Sunday. She said, "I wasn't going to let that happen." When she was testifying about her daughter. And she purposed in her heart that she wasn't going to let the evil that was happening, she wasn't going to let it happen. She wasn't just going to accept it. We can't just accept when the enemy is declaring victory, because we know he's already lost. Yeah, they took them captive, but then they prayed to the Lord. They said, "Look, if you deliver them, we'll destroy their cities." Because they had a mindset to win no matter what. They vowed and they prayed. And God heard their prayer. And what did he do? He delivered them. You know, God is interested in turning captivity. So, do you have a mindset that you're going to win no matter what? Every challenge that you face, before you decide anything, decide that you're going to win. You're going to get the victory. That it's not going to conquer you. You're going to conquer it. Don't remain a captive. Number two. Be sure to take all. Don't leave anything undone. Amen? Don't leave anything undone. In Joshua 11, verse 23, the Bible says that Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had spoken to Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Thus the land had rest from war. See, you're going to have rest when you take all that God said you can have. Don't leave anything undone. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't stop halfway to the cross? He went all the way. He didn't leave anything undone. When God tells you to do something, do it to the fullest. Do it until he says stop. Don't stop. Don't look to the right. Don't look to the left. But do the whole thing. Don't leave it undone. And number three, if you want to engage and fight and win, you have to realize that numbers don't matter, but faith does. Amen? God led a man named Gideon against an innumerable foe with how many men? 300. Numbers don't matter, but faith does. Do you realize that you are a majority with God? The Bible says, if God be for me, the question is, who can be against me? The answer is, no one. You and God make up a majority. Numbers don't matter, but faith matters. What you can believe. Jesus operated by faith. You know, anytime the enemy reared his ugly head, Jesus took care of it. He dealt with it. He confronted it. You know, God has anointed us to cast out devils. When you see the devil messing in your family, it's not a time to sit on the sideline. It's a time to go to warfare and take your authority in Jesus Christ. It's a time to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Tread on. That's signifying making some movement towards something. I used to listen called Jerusalem, and they had a song called, actually they named the album called Dancing on the Head of the Serpent. It was heavenly metal. Because I went to high school in the 80s. I'm a product of the 80s, you know, appendix. But you know what? People talk so fearful about the enemy. I don't care what the enemy's doing. I care what God is doing. I want to magnify God and minimize what the enemy's doing. Listen, God is greater. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And if you want to change some things in your family, it may require some intense spiritual warfare, some intercession, which groanings, when there's no words, but you're interceding, you're standing in the gap, you're pleading the case. God needs someone to be a watchman who will watch on the wall, look out for things that are coming. There's going to be some things coming. They're already happening. But one thing, we do not have to fear anything that the devil does. We do not have to fear the devil himself. We do not have to fear principalities or powers or rulers of the darkness of this world. We actually can wrestle over them and win. We wrestle, Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And we have the armor that can win. We've got to engage the kingdom of darkness. We've got to engage unbelief. You know, there were times when Jesus wanted to do something and he had to put people out because they were full of doubt and he couldn't do what he needed to do there, so he had to put them out. That's called engaging. You know, when a stranger comes into your house and says, tells a group of people, you know, you need to leave. That's boldness. That's fighting the good fight of faith. That's winning. You know, God works in atmospheres. He works in the atmosphere of faith. Where faith is, God will be. You have to think of it this way. When Jesus, Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he lived in the area where the man from Gadara was. Because that was an area called Decapolis, 10 cities. Jesus went to Gadara. He delivered a demon-possessed man who lived in the tombs, who broke chains, who would scream and cut himself. And after Jesus dealt with him, he was in his right mind and clothed. Okay? So Jesus went back, but then when he came over, that's when Jairus engaged him. That's when Jairus came to him and said, Lord, my daughter is at home dying. He said, come and lay your hands on her and she shall be whole. He was refusing to let death come to his daughter. So Jesus said, okay, I'm going to go with you. All right, so Jesus and Jairus, they're walking to his house to do exactly what Jairus said. And along the way, so Jairus approached Jesus in faith. So Jesus is following him. Jesus will go where faith is because faith pleases God. He goes where he's pleased. Amen? So Jairus and Jesus are walking, and then all of a sudden the woman with the issue of blood comes. She engages Jesus. She reaches out and touches the hem of his garment, and virtue comes into her, and she gets healed. Faith has no time limit. Come on. Now, Jesus finished ministering to the woman. said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. Now they go back to getting to Jairus' house. But on the way, servant came out and said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. Jesus looked at Jairus. He said, fear not. He said, only believe. What should Jairus believe? What he originally said. See, part of engaging and fighting and winning is not having a change of mind because circumstance changed. How many know Jairus had to keep the same faith he had even in the when he was facing the fact that his daughter was dead? He still had to say, he still had to believe, come and lay your hands on her and she shall live. That's what he had to believe. So they get into the room. He takes Peter, James, and John with him. And the mother and father, everybody's in there wailing. And, you know, Jesus walks in, says, the daughter's not dead. She's asleep. They mocked him. See, if you don't engage and fight and win, the devil will intimidate you and use pressure to try to get you to squash you. Jesus could have been very intimidated walking in there saying, the daughter's not dead. She's asleep. And then being mocked. He said, oh, I must be in the wrong place. No. You engage, you fight, and you win. You've got the power within you to overcome. And Jesus put all the people out except for Peter, James, and John and the mother and the father. What did Jesus do? He did exactly what Jairus said. He touched her. He said, daughter, arise. And if you lay your hands on her, she shall live. That's exactly what happened. Because, see, Jairus had an opportunity to disengage. He could have given up when he heard the news that your daughter's dead. But he didn't. Thank God that Jesus said, don't, you know, fear not, only believe. Because Jesus heard the report too. And, you know, Jesus just said, like, Jairus, don't worry. Don't worry about that report. I'm the truth. What I say goes. I can change that report. But stay engaged. Stay fighting because you're going to win. And Jairus won, didn't he? He stayed engaged. Your numbers don't matter, but faith does. I don't care how many people are praying for you. You don't know what they're praying. Where's your faith? Is your faith in the people's prayers or is your faith in God? I mean, great that the people are praying for you, but really, you know, someone told me something the other day. They said, prayer changes things. And I said, well, not really. I said, but if someone's praying not in faith, it's not going to change anything. Faith changes things. If you have faith like a mustard seed, you can speak to a mountain and command it to move and cast into the sea and do not doubt in your heart, but believe that whatsoever things you say, you can have what you say. Your faith has to be in God, irregardless of what's happening out here. Your faith matters. What you believe matters. What you believe is revealed by what you say and what you do. If you say you believe, okay, fine. Then your words and your actions need to reflect that. If your words and your actions don't reflect what you say you believe, then you don't really believe it. Amen? Number four, if you want to engage, fight, and win, you have to realize where God leads, you will succeed. It's not the size that matters. All right? How many know the story of Jonathan and his armor bearer? You can look it up in 1 Samuel 14. And it was Jonathan and his armor bearer. At this time in Israel's history, they didn't have swords because the Philistines had taken all the weapons. The only people who had swords were the king's son and the king. Okay? So Jonathan and his armor bearer, It says, now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let us cross over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he did not tell his father. Just the two of them now are taking on a fort of Philistines. Okay? And the armor bearer, I like his response. He said, okay, whatever's in your heart, let's do it. You know what? Leaders need some good armor bearers that say, whatever's in your heart, let's just do it. So, you know, Jonathan, I'm just paraphrasing, but Jonathan said, we call out to them and they say this, we know that God delivered them into our hands. But if they say something else, then we know. They had to climb this rocky ridge, okay? And they had to climb and get to the top. And they engaged the Philistines. And verse 6 says, Jonathan said to the young man who was carrying his armor, come and let us cross over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few. That's when his armor bearer said, do that which is in your heart. Verse 13, then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet with his armor bearer behind him. He was like Bear Grylls on an adventure. All right? And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, put some to death after him. That the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer was about 20 men in about half a furlough or an acre of land. The two of them killed 20 men in a half an acre. Then God got involved, and there was a trembling in the camp. Verse 15, in the field and among the people, even the garrison and the raiders trembled, that the earth quaked so that it became a great trembling. See, Jonathan and his armor bearer, they took action. They engaged, they fought, and they won. And that's what God wants us to do. We're going to have an election coming up. We need to be engaged as Christians. How do you know which one to vote for? Pray. Ask the Holy Ghost. Look for signs of righteousness. How do they treat their wives? How do they respect children? What's their view on life? But if we don't engage, we let the enemy fill the void of the vacuum of power. But we've got to be engaged. And we got to fight because we win. Amen? Then, if you want to fight and engage, you got to know your weapons and how to use them. You got to know what your weapons are, and you got to know how to use them. How many know David and Goliath? Right? David said, I'll fight this giant for you. He's an uncircumcised Philistine. You know, when you call someone uncircumcised, you realize that they don't have a covenant from God. They're unprotected. Someone who does not have a covenant from God is fair game for the believer. And Saul gave David his armor, right? And he was all decked out in Saul's armor, but he couldn't move because the armor was bigger than he was. He said, look, I can't use this stuff. I got to use what I know. You got to know what armor you have, and you got to know how to use it. David had faith in God, and it didn't really matter what armor he used. His armor was the name of Jesus, right? Because he told the Philistines, he said, you come at me with the sword and the spear, but I come at you with the name of the Lord. You know the name of the Lord is a powerful weapon? Do you know how to use his name? Can you say the name of Jesus with authority and power? When you say the name of Jesus, it's like Jesus himself standing right there, ready to do what you declare. So we got to know our weapons and we got to know how to use them. David went with what he knew, and what happened? David was the best babysitter in the Bible. He rocked Goliath to sleep. One stone put him out. Then he used his own sword to cut off his own head. Whoa. Listen, if you knock your enemy down, make sure you cut off his head. Don't just leave the fact that he's down. No, cut off his head. In other words, when you confront an enemy, you make sure you utterly defeat him. You make sure that you render him useless and ineffective. And then number six, if you want to engage, fight, and win, you got to open your eyes and you got to see. You got to know who's on your side and who you have in your corner. Remember the story of Elisha? And he was divulging the Syrian secrets. The king would plan an attack against Israel in his secret council. And God would tell Elisha what the Syrians were planning. He would tell the king, and the king would send a scout. And sure enough, the Syrians were there in an ambush, just like Elisha said. And the king got angry, Syrian king. He said, "Who's telling our secrets?" And they said, "Oh, there's a prophet in Israel who is telling you what's going on in your bedchamber." So they went down to where Elisha was, and they surrounded the city. And Elisha's servant came out. He had his cup of coffee with him. He looked around the city, and he saw that it was surrounded by an army ready to take Elisha prisoner. And he got all scared and worried. He said, "Master, master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha was as calm as a cucumber, right? See, when you know who's in your corner, when you know who's on your side, that I don't care how much the enemy comes against you, you win all the time. You've got to be confident in who's on your side. He said, "Father, open his eyes." And the guy opened his eyes, and he saw fiery chariots around Elisha. "They that be with us is more than be with them." And what did Elisha do? He made the whole Syrian army blind. He didn't even raise a sword. He didn't even lift a spear. He used his weapons. He led the entire... blindness came on the entire Syrian army. He led them to the king of Israel. And then he had them open their eyes, and they were held captive. And the king of Israel said, "Should we kill him?" He said, "Why should you kill him? They're defeated." He said, "Let him go." They fed him and let him go. And the Bible says that Syrian raiders never again came against Israel. Let me tell you something. Elisha, he engaged, he fought, and he won. Listen, don't get nervous about what the devil's doing. Get excited about what God is doing. Focus more on God than the enemy. Open your eyes and see. Know who's in your corner. Know who's on your side. Elisha walked around with the knowledge that he had fiery horsemen around him wherever he went. Doesn't the Bible say that God will encamp his angels around the righteous? Elisha knew that there were angels encamped around him wherever he went. So it didn't matter what the enemy was doing. He knew what God was doing. We've got to engage and fight and win. Everybody say win. But sometimes you've got to engage the enemy. Joshua had to engage enemies in the promised land. But he won. He defeated 31 of them. And then number seven, you have to believe in the Lord and speak boldly. You have to prosper and be established. And then I'm going to end with this one. Jehoshaphat. One day he was surrounded by three armies. 2 Chronicles 20:20. And the first thing he did was he prayed. Okay? And then they fasted. Sometimes in this spiritual war, you got to do some extra things. Fasting made him sensitive to God. And he said this. He said, "Listen to me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord, your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets, and you will succeed," or other versions say prosper. "When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire, and as they went out before the army." Can you imagine a battle plan of sending the praisers out before the warriors? Armed with songs, not swords. Armed with instruments, flags, voices. And this is what they said. They went before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." When they began singing and praising, the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. So they were routed. For the sons of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, destroying them completely. And when they had finished with the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. When Judah came to the lookout of the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and behold, there were corpses lying on the ground. And no one had escaped. When Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry, and they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. See, they engaged the enemy through praise and worship. Praise and worship released the angelic host, and the enemy started killing one another. The praisers were singing. The soldiers were marching behind the praisers, and the praisers were carrying on. They were singing praise to God. And when the people got there, they didn't even have to fight. They just had to gather spoil. They just had to gather the stuff. And there was so much stuff, it took 3 days. 3 days gathering stuff. When we engage, and when we fight, we will win. When we do it with God, God's way, with God's strategy, it's not on our own. It's only through Him. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God has prepared you for victory. Each and every one of us were designed and destined to have victory in our life, victory in our relationships, victory in our families. But we have to engage. You got lost loved ones? Engage them in the Spirit. Pray for them. Say, "Holy Ghost, sick them." Don't let them go before the Lord's face. Because why? They need your prayers. They need their eyes opened. There's something that's blinding them from the truth, and they need someone, they need an advocate with the Father. And we have one, Jesus Christ the righteous. We just have to engage. We have to fight. And we have to win. And you will win if you don't give up. You will win. Ephesians says, "Having done all to stand, stand therefore." I've done everything I can to stand. Well, just keep standing. You've done all you can to stand. Now let God take over. Amen? In this upcoming year, you need to engage. Young people, you need to engage God. There's a lot of demonic activity. God is definitely targeting young people. He's targeting older people too, but he definitely targets young people. You need to be engaged. You need to fight and you need to win. You're warriors. Like David, like Joseph, like Ruth. They were engaged in a spiritual atmosphere. They were engaged in, you've got to engage yourself in the Word. You've got to engage yourself in prayer. You've got to engage in worship. You can't just sit back and let people do your praying for you or your worshiping for you. You've got to do it. I just want to encourage you to engage. Don't just take whatever's thrown at you. If someone says negative words over you, you declare boldly who you are in Christ Jesus. Because that's who you really are. When you declare God's word over you, that's what you'll become. Gideon was hiding in fear. God said, "You're a mighty man of valor." Okay, he became what God said. You can become what you declare. Amen? Father, I give you thanks and praise that you're preparing us for this upcoming year. You want us to stand on your promises because there's rich rewards. Oh, God's got rich rewards for you. Father, I thank you for moving by your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus. Release your power from on high. Your power to make us bold and to make us strong. Your power to see us through, to sustain us, to carry us. Father, we invoke victory from heaven in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that every battle that we face, we win. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We can run through a troop and we can leap over a wall because we have the victory that Jesus Christ gave to us. Hallelujah. And if you're here right now and you need prayer for any area of your life, I believe that there's an anointing here to destroy yokes and remove burdens. You know, it's hard to go forward when you're yoked. But when the anointing comes in, it destroys that yoke. And if you're bound by anything, God will set you free. He wants you free so that you can engage, you can fight, and you can win. Amen? And maybe you're facing a battle. Maybe you're engaged and you just need some power from on high. I mean, no, God wants to share his power with you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. If you need prayer, come up right now and get ready to claim your victory.
The King is coming. The King is here.
Claim your victory. Hallelujah. Oh, we give you thanks and praise. Ha, 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 yeah. You know, one can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. You and God are two. You and the Holy Ghost are three. So, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that she engages, she fights, and she wins.